BlakeRadio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck up!
Waller Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
And Mace.
And if anyone disagrees with me, I'll open a can of the ass, we pump a mud pie, eat some low-fat frozen yogurt, and that's the bottom line.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what you're for on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you.
Don't ask me why. Just really don't ask me why I'm thinking about this song. I just felt like it. Welcome everybody to a Raw Post Show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by TweakedAudio.com and BWMania.com. I am Sir Reckon, joined by Lindsay Ward.
What song is it?
Maven's themed song.
Oh, okay. I'm a good wrestling fan.
You're a good wrestling fan. I just saw it in there and went, fuck it. Let's open with this song, because he's been in the news lately.
Has he?
Well, his trophy was, at least. Apparently, it was sold at auction.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So.
Somebody must be desperate for money.
Yeah. So someone out there has a maybe tough enough trophy. I don't even think he got the money for it. I think he owed so much in debt and stuff. And it was sold at auction. Yeah, let's open on a positive note. If you want to interact with us live, come into our chat room at wildtalkradio.com. You can just click the live button. You can interact with us there. If you're on pwmedia.com, you know, just interact with us. We don't bite.
Hard.
Right. You can also
call. And it's the live button. It's not the chat button. It's the live button.
Yes. Some people can confuse, you know, how to get into our chat room. So just hit the live button, and you'll be right there.
And if you don't like it, blame Tim Stein. It's all his fault.
Exactly. You can also call into the show, 267-297-1397, and share your thoughts with us as well. Because, you know, we can take phone calls. So interact with us. It's kind of cool. Live equal chat in Canadian, says Kane Kittens.
Yes, exactly, Kane Kittens.
So, Monday Night Raw opened up with the WWE Tag Team Champions coming down to the ring with the same intro? Something's messed up here. Oh, for Christ's sakes, we have a caller coming on the show right now. We have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome to the Raw Post Show.
It's not my fault. You can't figure out live means live interaction. That's where everything happens live. Come on in and chat live. Blame Tim Stein, huh?
Yes, blame Tim Stein.
It was your idea.
I don't care.
So what do you want?
What do you want?
You called me. What do you want? You
called me. What do you want?
I didn't call you.
You called me. I'm sitting here. I'm watching Raw. Raw's over with because I was watching it on the stream because I don't like the 1 hour delay in Canada. And Raw's over now. And then you call me and start talking about Raw. What the hell?
I didn't call you.
Oh. What happened on Raw tonight?
Well, I will tell you in just 1 second. Anyway, moving right
nice rock.
Moving right along, we had a game in the ring with Daniel Bryan. All, you know, apparently on SmackDown, they're a united front.
Yeah, they decided that they're going to get along now, which I'm not sure I'm okay with. I like it better when they pick on each other. But we'll see how this goes and how long it lasts.
Yes, we will see how long it lasts. he asked, you kicked me out of the call? Yes, I hung up on you, Tim. That's what it means. Anyway, Kane comes down to the ring, and then we see, you know, the Shield in a luxury box? Something's up. We had all three of them up there, and then Kane said, you know, you're real tough standing way up there. So he challenged him to come down to the ring and, you know, have something to fight about. Before we got that, we got the primetime players coming to the ring. In our opening contest, primetime players with new music, which was terrible, against the WWE Tag Team Champions, Daniel Bryan and Kane.
In a okay match? Wasn't the best, wasn't the worst.
It wasn't bad. It was a solid opener. It's not something, you know, you'll tell your kids about next week, but, you know, it was solid.
Yeah, the real eventful thing happened because of Kane's challenge after the match.
Yes, yes. Throughout the match, we saw different shots of the Shield in the crowd, one in the skybox, and they couldn't find Seth Rollins. At the end of the day, Bryan and Kane pick up the victory, and after the match, the Shield went on the attack, laying out both Kane and Daniel Bryan.
They really took it to Daniel Bryan.
They did. He was laid out with the three-man powerbomb, and they had Kane's arm in between the steps and kept hammering it, so, you know, he has some arm damage. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Well, it healed by the end of the third hour.
It kind of did. it kind of did.
But I wanted Kane to carry Bryan out all of the bodyguard. I wanted him to just scoop him up in his arms and carry him out, damn it. And I didn't get it.
You know, for a while there, I thought, maybe I should open with the bodyguard theme.
That would have been awesome!
Yeah, but it was too long and drawn out, so I was like, damn it. Maybe we'll close with it.
Do you have it?
I think so. Maybe. Nah, I can always get it as we do the show. Anyway. So the Shield laid all two men out. The fans were chanting for Ryback and no Ryback to be seen.
Wait. Were the fans chanting for Ryback or were they piping in chants for Ryback?
The fans in quotations.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Backstage in the locker room, we had John Cena and Sheamus talking about Cena now owning a giraffe or something. And then Sheamus went off about something.
Sheamus, I don't know. He snuck something in about some guy in an arse somewhere. I don't know.
It popped William Regal.
It did. It made William Regal pop, which is epic.
Yeah, it really kind of is. Oh, what does he call him? Oh, shit. What was it?
His translucent or transparent buddy or something like that?
My transparent ginger pal at WWE, Sheamus, has just sneaked in a Father Ted kicking Bishop Brennan up the arse reference on Raw. Was the tweet by William Regal, which was kind of awesome. So, yes, we have this. And they're focusing on their tag team matchup tonight against Dolph Ziggler and The Big Show. But our next contest after the break, AJ took on a better dressed Tamina Snuka.
Oh my God, thank goodness they finally got her better gear.
They listened.
They listened, somebody listened. I don't know, that or she, it wasn't ready for her when she initially came back. I'm not entirely sure, but oh my God, that's so much better.
It was 100 times better. You didn't want to rip your eyes out just looking at it.
She looked, not that she didn't look badass before, but she looked the part. She looked like a badass in that ring.
Right.
It's like she had that look on her face, and the whole thing was, I'm going to fuck your shit up. and Washington beats New York as Eli Manning aimlessly wanders on the field with cameras in his face. Awesome.
always good stuff. So this matchup, what'd you think?
It wasn't half bad. AJ attacked Tamina exactly the way I would. She got a running start and she went for the face.
When you said that to me earlier, I laughed.
Especially when she jumped on her back. I was like, yep, that's how a short girl fights. Exactly. Right there.
Perfect method. You know, you just go right after her.
But no, I thought it was good. The finish was a little eh. Mm-hmm. But I overall, I liked it. It's better than the Divas matches we usually get, so.
Even though, like, I'm reading the times in, like, 3.5 minutes, it felt longer than 3.5 minutes.
Because they actually, you had AJ get some offense in, you had Tamina get some defense in, and it looked like an actual fight. They didn't do any of the normal stupid shit that the other Divas do. They attempted to wrestle in the time that they had, and it actually looked like a fight.
Right.
Which I enjoyed immensely, as opposed to, you know, booty drops and backing it up and topping and all the other stink faces and shit like that they do.
Right. The finish was, Tamina was going up for the splash, and then AJ quickly got up and rolled her up for the three.
My only complaint is, can you please let Tamina have her own identity? I get she's Jimmy Snuka's daughter. Okay, I get that. You don't have to talk about the fact that she's Jimmy Snuka's daughter longer than the match went on. We get it. She is Tamina Snuka. She's Jimmy Snuka's daughter. We know that. Got it. Now let her have her own identity. Please. How would you talk about that she's a badass and she's fucking AJ's shit up right now? What a novel concept.
I know, right? But maybe we'll get that.
Nah. And it shows me how reliant they are on their announcers to get their talent over as opposed to the talent getting themselves over.
Agreed. At this point, we come back from break, and we're in the ring with Paul Heyman and CM Punk. Heyman said he forced himself there to fly to Greensboro, North Carolina today, and beforehand, his children, of all people, were reading the new version of the WWE Encyclopedia. So Paul Heyman wasn't out here to shill it for your Christmas or Hanukkah list.
Which made pop.
That was a great line by Heyman. I so enjoyed that one. He said the reason is because there is not enough CM Punk in the book is why he doesn't like it. Heyman continued on that after tomorrow, Punk will surpass John Cena as the longest reigning champion in the modern era. Heyman said that he does not appreciate that the fact that, you know, there's not enough coverage in the book about him. He said after tomorrow, everyone will have to agree with him that Punk is not only a champion, not only the best in the world, but now front and center on WWE versions of the Mount Rushmore.
I'd like to say that while I believe CM Punk that he's the best in the world, I say he comes over to my house and he proves he's the best in the world. Just saying, you know, if you really want me to buy it, you really want me to respect you, and all that good happy stuff, you know, you just get your ass on an airplane, you fly to Utah, I'll make you dinner, and we'll just settle this once and for all.
That's all.
That's all.
It's simple enough. Punk then took over and started talking about that he's been unfairly persecuted. He claimed that to have proven for over a year that he is the best in the world. Punk said he should be above Hulk Hogan, John Cena, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and The Undertaker.
To which Lindsay looked up and expected a gong or smashing glass, to which she got neither and was very disappointed.
But these people still won't give him the respect he deserves. Punk knew that he beat Ryback at Hell in a Cell and beat Ryback at Cena at Survivor Series, so why is he forced to defend the title against Ryback at TLC? Again, Punk says because of the fans, the people who turned their backs on him and now ignore his accomplishments. Punk picked out a fan in the front row and said he can't hold a job for 365 days. He said that they want to hold a magnifying glass to his life, looking for a blemish to justify what their heroes will never beat him, for why their heroes will never beat him. First, it was Paul Heyman as the excuse for Punk remaining champion. Then, it was the rogue referee, Brad Maddox. Now it's the Shield. Punk said it's a lie that he would not be WWE champion right now without the Shield. But if it were not for him, none of the people would be here today. Punk claimed to be the reason why people bought a ticket and tuned in to Raw. If not for him, Punk said people would have nothing to look forward to these days. On these dismal 3-hour Raws, which nice little shot.
That was true.
Nice little shot there by Punk.
Thank you, Punk. Thank you very much.
He must read his Twitter a lot. Punk said if you can't accept it, then change the channel. He told the crowd to get up and get out of his arena right now. He said, leave if you don't like it. And then he was interrupted by The Miz?
Who did his shtick? Really? 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 I'm going to punk you in the face.
Really?
Really.
He asked Punk if he's going to ask these people to get up and go, then pander to the crowd, telling them to sit down and enjoy themselves. Miz then told Punk that no one believes him about not being associated with Brad Maddox and the Shield. And what it boils down to, that instead, you know, of the two men facing off one-on-one tonight, they will do a lie detector test.
Yes, because that's what we want to be the main event of Monday Night Raw, is CM Punk taking a lie detector test. Riveting television, folks.
Yeah.
Can you tell Vince is back?
Heyman says not a smart move because Miz knows Punk knows what Punk thinks of him behind the scenes. Miz retorted by mocking Heyman's voice and then, you know, calling him a human walrus.
To which got the chant of the night.
Walrus
chant.
Yep. Multiple
even
times.
Multiple ones, and it prompted a slew of Paul Heyman and Andy Reid comparisons.
It did. And, it, you know, throughout this whole thing, Punk was firing back, and there's only one thing that, well, I thought of.
Colonel Jessup, did you order the Code Red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled
you
to.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth! Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Did you order the Code Red?
I did the job.
Did you order the Code Red?
You're goddamn right I did!
You should have played the JBL version.
I should have. I forgot about the JBL version. And yes, King Kins, I pulled a Wojcik and gave us a movie reference.
You've been Wojcik'd right here on the Raw Post Show.
Yeah. But just listening to that promo was like, that's what I thought of. So we set up.
Honestly, I kind of tuned out when Miz came out. I feel really bad saying that because Punk went on this long diatribe and the promo really did almost go just a little bit too long. There was that really natural moment when he said Austin and Taker, and that was the moment to have somebody walk out, whether it's Vince, whether it's Miz, whether it's whoever, to interrupt Punk. You could have gone without the entire rest of that promo, and it would have been okay, with the exception of the Dismal Rock mention. But, I mean, in all honesty, the natural place for that to really stop was after he said, I'm better than all these people.
Yes.
And that's when you have Miz walk out and say, fuck you.
Kate Kent goes, if that is Wojcik, what is being Tim Steined?
This is a PG show, we can't say that.
Up next, we have our top of the hour match. John Cena and Sheamus took on the World Heavyweight Champion, The Big Show, and Dolph Ziggler. Solid match?
It was a solid match. I was actually kind of sitting there going, okay, so CM Punk's been on, Team Hell No's been on, you now have your major players on SmackDown plus Cena on, oh fuck, what's going to be in the main event of the show?
Yep.
Because John Cena was not, for once, which I applaud, the main event of the show. He was not actually the focus of the show. He was featured, but he was not the focus.
Right, there was no 15-minute John Cena segment, besides a match.
He got a promo and he got a match, and that was it.
Yep. I was surprised Cena and Sheamus won. I figured, okay, the heels get the win now, and then, you know, they would get the baby faces would start getting their revenge leading up to the pay-per-view, but I guess I'm wrong. And Cena beat Ziggler again.
Poor Dolph. And he's going to get further bent over by Cena later on, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, we'll get there. After the break, we have Miss Piggy and Flo Rida.
To which I missed, thank God.
They were she was hitting on Flo Rida, basically. And they're promoting the Tribute to the Troops special coming up this month. In the ring, Damien Sandow was in there, and, well, he brought in a fan and asked them questions. Who the president is, what does H2O represent, and there was one other question.
Had to do with John Keats.
Yes. So, yeah, named in a famed English poet. Basically what it boiled down to. So he did not know the answer, and what I'm going to eventually clip is Sandow saying, awarding him the Idiot of the Day award.
Yes, that was awesome.
which I liked. As he finished up, we had Santino come to the ring, and he told Mr. Trivia Guy he had a question for him, and he tried to do the whole seashells by the seashore bit.
In the accent, which was awesome.
Yeah. Then he tried to do some punchline, and, well, it bombed, but, you know, I still laughed at Santino trying to do the seashore bit. I don't know why. It was funny. But yeah, tried to hit him in the head with the microphone. But he blocked, and Sandow left the ring, and we got set up for our matchup, Santino versus Sandow.
And a pretty good match.
Yeah, it was fine. You could tell what they're doing with Sandow, because Cody Rhodes is out there now rebuilding Sandow as a single star.
And what's nice is you can have Sandow kind of be the straight man in these comedy situations, and you can still take him seriously.
Exactly. Like, he has the facials that perfect for these segments.
I mean, it's like, oh god, they're doing a comedy bit with Sandow and Santino, but it works because Sandow's a straight man in this, and Santino's doing all the comedy, and you have Sandow being better than it.
Right.
So, it works, and I'm sad to see Cody Rhodes get hurt. I really am. I'm sad that the tag division's on the back burner because Cody Rhodes got hurt. But hopefully when he comes back, they'll just resume it. That or they'll kill it by that point.
He's not supposed to be back till February, I think.
Oh, my God. We're screwed. Brian and Kane are going to break up before that.
Oh, so Sandow ends up winning. Backstage, we have Dolph Ziggler complaining to Vicky Guerrero about the Big Show being the worst tag team partner ever. He rips in the show. Then Vicky said she's starting to lose faith. Ziggler asked for a rematch against John Cena at the pay-per-view, and he vowed to steal the show like no one has ever seen. Vicky basically told him to go do it. Ziggler, walked away at that point and said, someone's in your office. And inside that office was one Brad Maddox.
My God, he lives.
He does live. They come back to them in the office where Brad Maddox is his own camera guy. He wants a WWE contract, and he denies having anything to do with CM Punk. Vicky said she doesn't believe it. Basically, we're setting up a match tonight between Brad Maddox and an unnamed opponent for a contract.
Be still my heart. I can't wait.
I know, I was on the edge of my seat waiting. But at this point, we got a really good match between Humberto Del Rio and Sin Cara.
We did, although I was rooting for Ricardo to get in the ring. I really was. Like, come on, Ricardo, you can do it. Get in the ring.
You can do it. Come on.
If y'all have not seen Ricardo wrestle, go to YouTube and look it up. He is outstanding.
Yes, he is.
I don't know why he's a manager. Dude needs to be in the ring working.
This was one of the better Del Rio and Sin Cara's better matches together, and Del Rio wins via submission. And the one thing we can basically say, no more mood lighting.
Yay!
At least for tonight, which was a nice, pleasant surprise change, because when he has the mood lighting, I can't get into his matches. You just can't. Takes away from it. Doesn't help it. At this point, we have Vince McMahon walking around backstage. I look at his hair, looks like a comb-over. He told basically that he wants Vicky Guerrero in the ring, and that's what we come back to on Raw. Is Vicky Guerrero being introduced and coming to the ring? Introduces Vince McMahon, and then Vince McMahon plays puppet. That's basically what this segment was, as we set up the matchup between Ziggler and Cena at TLC. She wants a no DQ match, but Vince says no, and Melsinger tells her what to say, and she screams a ladder match, at which point Lindsay's ears started to bleed.
No, my ears started to bleed when she went, everybody clap, really, really loud in the mic, and it was like this shriek, and it's like, ow.
And she pondered what could be on top of a ladder. It's not for a title. And then Vince McMahon made it for, it's a briefcase.
To which I say, if they fuck Dolph Ziggler over at TLC, which we all know they're going to do because they're going to give it to Cena, I call bullshit.
Now, as someone pointed out in this recap, what if Ziggler cashes in the Money in the Bank briefcase before the TLC pay-per-view or early on in the pay-per-view?
I thought of that. I was like, you know what? They should have him cash in before the pay-per-view. It changes the entire... But then if he wins, it's for the title.
Okay, but that's okay. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it being for the title. Because then you do a DQ finish and you get out of it. Vicky then told Vince he could leave so she can continue, but you know, you don't do that to Vince. So Vince, you know, asked them what's this about a lie detector test, and then they basically set up the stipulation if Vicky stumbled through that, you know, tonight if, you know, Punk being a Heyman guy and, you know, doesn't want to put his guy in harm's way, so Punk is found to be lying, the next week it'll be Heyman versus the Ryback.
Poor Paul Heyman.
The Ryback versus the Walrus. Next week, maybe. At this point, you have any comments you want to make about that part, or are you good?
Poor Paul Heyman.
Okay. At this point, we have Brad Maddox coming to the ring. Okay, if he doesn't have a contract, why does he have, like, an entrance graphic thing?
Because he's special?
It's the Brad Maddox experience! And he experienced an RKO tonight.
Yes, he did. But he had help, didn't he?
Well, after the match, Orton was jumped by the Shield. I guess there was some sort of injustice there?
That or they were helping Brad Maddox, I'm not entirely sure.
Looks like they could possibly be. It's all coming together. But yeah, Orton was laid out by the three men with the three-man powerbomb. So that's two people laid out by the Shield tonight. We got more hype from Miz TV. And then we're backstage where Dolph Ziggler comes into Vicky Guerrero's office and, you know, starts complaining about having her putting the contract on the line against Cena. Ziggler said he's already defended against Chris Jericho when AJ booked it. The same match, then pause, and said Vicky is becoming just like AJ. Which Vicky didn't seem to care for.
Not at all.
This brought in Heyman. They had a stare down. A really long stare down. Where neither one flinched at all. Which, you know, like, it was done live, so you have to wonder, how bad did they want to crack up just staring at one another?
I know, right?
Basically, she said, you know, he better have confidence that, you know, Punk is telling the truth. Heyman just walked away. This brought in John Cena with a big old smile on his face. Cena said somebody told him that she wanted to see him. Cena says he's feeling good, pretty good because she actually made a great match for TLC, and he thanks Vicky Guerrero. Cena says he knows he is the only guy to unsuccessfully cash in Money in the Bank, and when he gets the briefcase back, he will become a champion. So Cena just wants to say thanks, but Vicky tells him to hold on and gave him bow ties that apparently AJ made or were left in AJ's locker from last week. Vicky said AJ gets obsessed every time she gets involved with a guy. Cena grabbed the bow ties and said how they were obviously, you know, a hack job because it's the wrong colors. He said he can't get it that Vicky won't leave it alone. She retorted that if Cena doesn't learn from mistakes, he'll repeat his mistakes. And they just walked away. He just walked out at that point.
You know, I have to say that with Vince calling basically the entire storyline that they're doing crap with this, that they're continuing it.
They're continuing with it, but at the same time, there was less focus on it tonight.
Which was nice.
It was. I was like, wait. Okay, where's the 15-minute long promo? Wait, there was no. Wait. What's wrong with this show?
That made the show much more enjoyable. It's like you see Vicky coming out, and the first instinct is you cringe because it's like, oh, fuck. what are they going to do now with this?
Right.
Because honestly, my feed locked up when Vince was walking back through the hallway. So that's why I asked you what you were seeing, because when you said when Vince was walking around, I was like, well, how far behind am I if Vince is just coming out?
Right.
But it was, okay, so I'm in the right spot. But yeah, when Vicky came out, it's like, oh God, they're not going to do this. They're really not going to do this. Please don't.
And thankfully they didn't. They only left a little mention. And they really didn't even bring it up when she was in the ring either. So that's a good sign.
Right, which was nice.
So up next on Monday Night Raw is a tag team matchup. Wade Barrett and Antonio Cesaro taking on Kofi Kingston and R-Truth. But wait. Something weird happened.
TLC. Wait a minute. Hang on. Hold on here. Booker T's assistant.
Hold on just a second there, players. Now, I know this is supposed to be a tag team match. But since Vicky Guerrero is having her problems tonight, and since my boss, Booker T, is not here, and since Mr. McMahon is clearly looking for ways to spice things up, I say, let's turn this tag match into a fatal four-way championship match.
What?
Now, whose championship will be on the line? Is it Kofi's Intercontinental title or Antonio's U.S. title? Well, that will be clearly left up to the WWE Universe.
Yeah, that's enough of Teddy. But wait. There was a tag match book and he changed it?
He undid a tag match, but I'd like to point out, shouldn't they have announced the poll, beforehand?
But then he could have pulled the biggest rib on the internet. Because clearly that's what it was. He ribbed the internet today.
They seem to be doing a lot of that lately.
They do. So yeah, instead of a tag match, Teddy Long made a four-way match for the United States title, which the fans voted for. Cesaro, R-Truth, Wade Barrett, and Kofi Kingston, which was pretty, pretty good.
Well, yeah, you've got quality talent in there. I mean, of course it's going to be good. Not that I'm biased or anything, you know.
No, you know, you're not. But they had a really competitive fatal four-way match, which was basically your main event overall.
Which I'm okay with.
I'm with you. It was a good match. And I'm okay with these four guys getting spotlighted on a show in the main event slot. Well, kind of the main event slot.
They were the final match of the evening, which it was a nice impression to leave going into the lie detector test.
Yeah. Cesaro ended up picking up the victory and retaining his title after pinning the Intercontinental Champion, which I understood, but makes Kofi look weak, but you didn't want to pin the other contenders for the title because those are the matches at the pay-per-view.
Right.
So it made sense. Kind of. In a roundabout way.
Kind of.
But then, as Lindsay mentioned, it is now time for our main event segment, Ms. TV. We had a lie detector test. I don't know what to say. Honestly, Miz asked some questions, really basic questions. Punk took some shots at Miz. He brought up Rey Mysterio shaving Punk's head, and then him losing to Randy Orton the same year Miz main event at WrestleMania. Then they got down to it. The question is he working with Brad Maddox and the Shield? Did you answer it? Is what Miz shouted.
the crowd chanted yes, and then out of nowhere, the Shield appeared. The Shield attacked The Miz, laying him out. Out came Daniel Bryan and Kane, then Randy Orton. So at this point, Miz has been laid out, and the Shield gets run off by those men. Here comes the Ryback. He's involved with the group. We have a big brawl going all around the arena. Everyone disappears. CM Punk celebrates in the ring. Starts beating down The Miz some more. Poses on the turnbuckle. And then Ryback returns to the ring and lays him out with shell-shocked. Grabs a chair. Grabs the ladder. Hits him with the ladder. Hits him with the chair. Puts him through a table. And that's how we end Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, it was... Yeah.
I'm not sure. The lie detector gimmick, okay. That was kind of stupid. But it fit for what they were going for, I guess. In a roundabout way.
Yeah, kind of.
It fits, and it didn't give us the answer. It posed a question. It was drawn out. Ryback laying out Punk like he did, that would have been great next week.
Heading into your pay-per-view.
What are you going to do next week? That was your go-home angle if you leave the champion landing with all the gimmicks. That would have been perfect. But that's how we ended this week's edition of Monday Night Raw. I will say this. It was a solidly paced show.
It was solidly paced. You could tell Vince was back.
But it didn't feel like 3 hours.
It did in certain spots. It did drag. It didn't drag all the way, but there was some drag to it, and it just, I think for me, it lacks spark. They're trying so hard to cause a stir and make something happen that it's so forced, it's just not working.
I can see that.
So if you want to create interest, if you want to create a spark, do something unexpected. Have your world title, you know what? Have your world title, have your world heavyweight title change hands. Do something unpredictable.
Like I suggested, before the show started tonight, Raw started tonight, you know, the perfect opportunity would have been, you know, have Ziggler cash in tonight if you want to do something unexpected. He's teaming with Big Show. It made perfect sense. Have him.
Yep.
He was laid out by White Noise. Why didn't he cash in?
He was right there. Other than Sheamus probably would have stopped him, but... Yeah, it's just the whole thing is... It was solid. It's better than it has been. It wasn't as good as last week's.
We had better matches last week. The pacing was the same, but we had better matches last week.
Yeah, we had better matches last week. But, yeah, I mean, it's just... It's lacking spark. It's lacking personality. It's very, everybody take a shot, they're going through the motions. Hi, Mace.
There you go, there's your shout-out, Mace. Yeah. And you know, as we say this now, in 3 weeks from now, it's going to be time to get ready for the Rumble. Time to go on the road to WrestleMania. Things are going to pick up.
3 weeks until I get Taker.
Well, you might have like 6 weeks until Taker.
I'll take it. 6 weeks. I can do that. But I mean, it's just... It's like going back to the thing with Punk. It's like it is expected when, you know, he mentions names like that. And I even said it on Twitter. I tried to stay off Twitter again tonight, but I did make that one comment of back in the day. you know, Austin's name would have barely passed Punk's lips, and the glass would have shattered.
Right.
You know, he said Taker. Taker's name would be barely past his lips, and you would have the gong.
Right.
And it's... You're having Punk shoot off at the mouth, which I get, which works perfect, but you need somebody to shut Punk up. Miz is not the guy. I'm sorry. For everything the Miz is not the guy to shut Punk up. You need somebody that's at this stage on Punk's level, and Miz is not on that level. Ryback is not on that level. And John Cena is overdone.
Well, you know who it's going to be.
Mr. Gong Gong himself?
No. The jabroni beating, eyebrow raising, the people's champ.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all building to that.
I keep trying to tune that out.
I know you do.
Oh, look, the Walrus is on my TV.
Are you watching
and
the
Discovery? And I'm not talking about Heyman. I'm talking about the other one.
Yeah, that one's on TV, yeah. He's on SportsCenter.
Oh, they're showing Michael Vick crying like a little bitch.
So, this was 3 hours of Monday Night Raw. It's been worse.
It's been worse, but it's been better. It was very average.
I'll take average right now.
I will take average right now, but honestly, if I would prefer for it to be stronger.
Yes,
I would prefer for it to be better, and I know they can do better. That's the thing, is it's like, and I hate to sound entitled, but I know they can do better, and I wish that they would strive to do better. And maybe they are. But I think Vince is so desperate because, you know, supposedly there's the rumor going around, Vince is absolutely desperate to make an impact. To do something. That he's trying to force it. And it's like, the thing that I remember, and to compare it to the rose-colored glasses attitude era, is a lot of it just happened. If Vince would let go and stop micromanaging everything, I think what he wants would happen, as opposed to trying to force it.
And there's certain things on the show that, you know, you can get into the Shield. They got to do it. They were doing a good job with them. A little bit too much tonight.
A little bit too much tonight. I think the luxury box was a little bit too much. You could have easily had Kane make that challenge with them not up in the luxury box. You could have had him say, you know, well, I'm not going to take your crap. Why don't you be real men and come stand up and come be down by the ring or something like
that.
And
then you have him throughout the match just show up randomly throughout the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get the same exact cause and effect without overdoing it.
Because that leads to the question, how did they get in the box? All that stuff.
Yeah, it's who got them in, and it's still leading to that. It's kind of similar to Aces and Eights, and who's getting them in, who's getting them that kind of access to where they can get to ringside from a luxury box.
Right. But we shall see how it plays out. I'm intrigued somewhat.
I'm intrigued, but still at the same time, I know they're going to blow this, and it's becoming more apparent they're going to blow it, so it
starts to become disheartening.
Yeah, it's like, oh, why do I even bother to care anymore?
Yeah, they do make you not care as much. But here's hoping things get better. They were at an all-time low, and now they're slowly moving up. Slowly.
But surely.
And I'm doing a hand motion. I don't know why. Raising up. Anyway, this has been the Raw Post Show. This is where now we plug shit for the rest of the week. I plug shit for the rest of the week. I need to take a deep breath. Tomorrow night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio has special special start time at 10 p.m. Eastern. On the program, we will have Adam Cole of Ring of Honor and CZW and Sammy Callahan on the program. Join us 10 p.m. Eastern for a special edition of Kayfabe Wrestling Radio Wednesday night. It's just another goddamn wrestling show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Join Judge Schaefer, Brian Blatty, Scott Barry, and Chief Wood Pelling as they discuss the year in TNA. Should make for an interesting discussion and whatever else they can possibly think of. Speaking of TNA, that leads to the one show where it covers it fully, and that's The Rack.
Yes, where we have our Impact review. We'll be talking all about the news and notes of the week, and there seem to be a lot of news and notes that are appearing, to which we're grateful. And we'll be doing our pay-per-view preview, where we should have the full card for TNA's Final Resolution this Sunday. We will do Pick'em and a whole bunch of other crap, which we haven't decided yet, because we haven't formatted the show.
But if you have any idea, send them to me at wildtalkradio.com or tweet us at wildtalkradio. We'll listen to any idea you have for us to discuss.
And usually they make it on the show.
Usually. And at 11 p.m. Eastern every Thursday night. Friday night, it is the wake-up call with Gianni Kashmir. That's where I should check my email. And, you know, give him a proper plug. So hopefully things load up quickly. And
well,
as I, you know, this Friday night, we will be speaking with Stephen Myers of thepump.org, who will be discussing kind of about lost technology of the pyramid and Egypt.
Interesting.
Yes. And coming up down the line will be Ben Hansen of Sci-Fi's Fact or Faked, who is a former FBI agent, now current host of The Fact or Faked on Sci-Fi. So, don't miss it. It's the wake-up call, supposedly produced by Tim Simon, this Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We'll see if that happens.
Yeah. Apparently, King Kidd sent an idea for The Rack, because I just saw it in my email. So, awesome. We have something to talk about. Saturday night, midnight, it's CB Radio. You never know what to expect. We had Will on for the five-year show. That was awesome. You heard Subway cleaning himself off after cutting himself in a match. By the way, check out the Facebook, facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network, or the Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio. You can see Subway's match, where he bleeds and takes a couple bumps from IPW Hardcore Resurrection. So check it out. It's on the Twitters. It's on the Facebooks. So check us out. Midnight-ish every Saturday night. Sunday night is Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein and the Omega, covering the week in pro wrestling. We'll be covering TNA Final Resolution at 11 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, we'll be back for another edition of the Raw Post Show. Anything you want to plug?
Follow me on Twitter, at Lins Ward, LINSWARD. Go to my website, psychwardesigns.com. Go to Cassidy's website, CassidyRiley.net. Go buy his t-shirts. Go to my DeviantArt, linsward.deviantart.com, and listen to all the other fine programming on this network, because it's awesome.
So, for the folks at PWMania.com and TweakedAudio.com, I am Sir Rockin. That was Lindsay Ward. This has been the Raw Post Show, live right here on the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What your country can do for you. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
WildTalkRadio.com.